Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of The Bus Factor, with no intro music this time. With technical difficulties, I haven't eaten yet, there's a half-inch pie on my desk, it's not looking good, but we're here and live, so that's what matters. And you'll also notice there is no Hugh this week. He has run away down to South Island? I think it's the South Island, right?
South Island, yeah.
So instead, got old mate Dave in the office, who you might remember from a few weeks back when he was in the office. On the show, rather. He's always been in the office. Okay, say hello, Dave. Introduce yourself.
Hey, Dave. Right, with Mr. Stephen in the office here, so...
Well, my father calls me Mr. Stephen. My friends just call me SS23.
Okay, SS23, then. We've got some sort of bird straight off the bat as well.
Do we? Where's...
The super shuttle.
Okay. I thought you meant a literal pigeon. And I was like, oh, okay. So in the midst of all of this stuff, is that our current chat? Is that last week or?
That could be any week's chat, I suspect.
I wish it was like a refresh or something. Okay, hang on. Let's get this sorted. We should also pull this. Oh, no. Pull this up, I guess. We're really sorted this week. This is how you find out Hugh is the person who gets it already. Oh. Is that legal?
That's a duck. A duck, which is illegal.
Illegal, but isn't he like technically a bus? Like a van is kind of a bus.
Because this is bus only. This is not a bus lane.
Okay. So buses only. Strictly only buses. Okay. So I'm gonna just get the red light runners back to zero. We haven't got one. We got a biker. Don't think he's allowed to do that, but he'll be fine. Red light runners back to zero, and this browser source, I have no idea if we can refresh it, so we might just get rid of it. Come on. Nah, okay, we'll just get rid of it. Okay, here we are. We got news and stuff up. First on the topic list, someone was standing in front of our list, is buses. We've got buses on there. And then secondarily, we've also got some other things. Let's start with some IT stuff this week, because we've got a lot more IT stuff than we do other stuff. So the first one on the list we got is the Intel ME stuff, the management engine stuff. Do you know about this, Dave?
I've read a little bit about it.
Did you read that paper the guys wrote?
I haven't actually read the paper. I've only read the commentary on the paper.
Okay. The paper's quite good. If anyone listening would like to read it, go ahead, because it's quite good. It's one of those like well-written, I guess it's like an article rather than a paper. I don't know if they wrote a paper with it. One of those well-written ones that you just kind of like, oh, I understand this. Like, they gloss over a lot of details. For example, they're like, we couldn't decrypt it, but then some guys in the office did smart stuff, and then we decrypted it. So it's like, it's readable, very readable. But I guess we should mention what it is. What was your take on it, Dave? What was your take on what it was?
I think it's been interesting, particularly when they had the AMT, whatever, earlier in the year, and they said, oh, you can't really turn it off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They said, like, it's impossible to get rid of it. You can't turn any of it off. These exploits are here to stay. Not exactly what they said, but...
Or something along those lines, and then all of a sudden... You know, the NSA basically for all the government desktops said, no, we don't want that, turn it off. And they had a nice little turn off flag
in the code. And this flag has been in here the entire time, I believe. So since they've had this version of the management engine, which I think is 11, they've had this flag in there. So it's not like this was added really quickly at, you know, now time. It's actually been there a while. I guess we should say what it is. It's just a little flag in your management engine config, I guess you call it. Kind of like the firmware blobby thing. There's a flag in there. It takes a lot of flags. That will completely disable all of the stuff. So it's required to boot your computer. You can't boot your computer without like the Intel extra CPU thing. But you can tell it like, hey, once the computer's booted, go away. And so these researchers verified that when they set this flag, it's called a high assurance thing, US government program, it will just completely turn it off. Kind of cool. I mean, it's one of those things where I guess we see a lot of vendors who put out like secret features. But not just this, not just secret flags in your firmware, but we also see like Intel putting out secret instructions in their CPUs. You know, oh, and I mean, kind of related to that aspect of it, if we skip down on the list, one, the AT&T modem hack. Did you read about that, Dave?
No, I haven't read that one, sorry.
Okay, so this one was plain and simple, full disclosure. Some guys basically found 4 or 5 bugs in the AT&T routers. Oh, look at this. Look at this. It's quite a few of them back
there. The honking, you actually can't actually hear that.
And a Turner, okay, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would have been the one that's doing all the honking.
Yeah, because I didn't think that guy was. Oh, what's this guy up to?
Oh, it's a goose.
It's a goose. Fucking goosing around out there. We don't have a goose counter. We only have a red light counter. Maybe we should add a goose counter. I think when we automate it with the OpenCV stuff, we'll have like a full stats panel. It'll show percentages, expected gooses for today, geese for today. Do the math. And you were talking about integrating with the real-time bus system.
Yeah, because the bus tracking system, the real-time information, they will actually provide the latitude and longitude of all the buses, along with the heading as well of the bus.
The heading as well. They've got a compass in there. I guess it's like it's the same GPS system.
A GPS chip, and they will have a compass in them. So, yeah, if you want to play along at home, you can go to the MetLink API, and you can basically get all the bus locations out, and you could have a little thing. You can basically predict the red light runners before we actually see them.
I think it'd be pretty cool. I don't know if MetLink would like you doing that, but it would be fun to do. Hang on, I'm gonna try bringing the chat window up because I couldn't tell if it was live or not. Oh, okay, so it is live. Okay, so the chat window is like real. Okay, I'll put that back in there then. I wasn't sure if it was last week's one or this week. Like, I have no visual indicator for it's refreshed.
Unless someone says yes, it is today's date in the chat, right?
For example, Hugh saying, "Where's the chat window?" That's pretty clearly from this week, so. Oh, yeah, so with the red lights, when I was actually just walking here, I saw a guy coming towards us who went through a red light on the first one, but he managed to get through on the second. And it just reinforced how crazy it is that there's like a 4-second delay between the first and second ones. And if you get past the first one, which is red, you might actually get a green on the other side, right? Clearly, they have such bad problems with buses and other people going through red lights. They had to really push this one in terms of how you can go through it.
Yeah, at some point we should most probably provide an overview shot actually from road level so people can actually see the timings and actually the layout of the intersection rather than just our small little window.
Yeah, so it would be good to get that. Look at this here. You can't see it on the camera. Let me use our world-class tilt system. Oh, there we are. You can see him. yeah, that's good. He's moving. Okay. I thought he might, if he stayed there, he might be able to get the buses trapped again. Be chaos and destruction. Quite good. Okay. No red light runners today. I guess I wasn't here to watch the pre-show. So that also is why it took a little bit to get going this week. But, oh, is that a coworker down there? I think it is. What's he got?
Yeah, it is a coworker. I put money on it being a corded mouse.
Oh, yeah. I have heard about his mouse issues.
Yeah, fucking Apple Bluetooth.
Oh, it was actually just my mouse driver. It's pretty good. Quartered mouse. Okay. Useful to have. You know, it is late 2017, but wireless stuff still sucks pretty bad.
Well, yeah, Bluetooth and Macs, right? I mean, the Bluetooth mouse on my Windows laptop, laptop works fine.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, this particular coworker when they use their Mac, right? Maybe if they just used Windows or Linux, and watch it work fine.
Oh, I like to be honest, I have not tried Bluetooth on Linux ever. I don't know. It's got pretty good wireless support these days, I guess, for like Wi-Fi. But maybe it's okay.
Yeah, because they're all the same chip. I mean, these days the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth are the actual same physical chips. So
okay, I didn't know that. That explains. The coworker's mad at us. Fucking Mac users. That explains why everything is Bluetooth these days, I guess. Because like it's kind of pervasive. I mean, in laptops especially, and even like these desktops with it the end days, which is weird to me. Like if you've got a desktop, just fucking use a cord. Like you're not moving anyway. Just arrange the cord where it needs to go.
Mice are a little bit nicer cordless than corded because you just not dragging around a big cord all the time.
I get it. I totally get it. And it's an opinion. It's just one I don't agree with. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate wireless stuff. Like, it's unreliable. There's a guy running through a turner. What section of the lights are we in here? We're in that section.
The traffic should be coming up at this point in time. Like,
they fucking can't. Why are they going now? This is retarded.
You can't see it, but they're
backed up quite. I can mainly do a temporary view of it. You can't really see it.
There's another few one cars. Or two behind that little black ute.
Yeah.
Black SUV. Sorry. I'm
just confused as to why he thought that was a good idea to go then. Here are the lights.
It was most probably moving. There are people crossing.
No, it wasn't. I was looking. So it was backed up completely.
Oh, yeah.
And they, more than one guy, just decided to go.
They are driving through a red light now. It's illegal. That black car and the ute. And we're hoping for more bus blockage action, but not today.
So when you get that bus blockage, that's when it's real good. Also, shout out to Spoosic, who I don't actually know who Spoosic is. I heard they were like ringing someone up on ISE and trolling them. So A plus from me, I guess, if it's the same people. But I don't know who you are. Who are you, Spoosic? What are you doing in the chat? There was a red light there.
Yeah, that was a red light. That was a red light. We've got our first red light for the day.
Okay.
Maybe we should pay more attention to the lights rather than talking.
Oh, we really should. I just not switched on today. I haven't eaten. I haven't even opened the beer yet. Oh, okay. Should we open a beer?
Yeah, open.
Oh, jeez.
Throwing mic stands around onto the floor.
It's like a cheap mic stand. We got some beer here. Today we're drinking, same as most weeks actually, the Tuatara beer. It's Tuatara beer. It's one of the mix boxes.
Yeah, the six mix box. Yeah.
Six mix. So you have to choose the personality, the drink that suits your personality.
So which one are you thinking of drinking today?
I'm really partial to the wise guy, you know, actually, which they used to call it just the Hefe, Tuatara Hefe, or Hefa, Hefe, Hefe. That mic has like heaps of cable on it, by the way, so you can stretch it as much.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know it's Hefeweizen is the German. I've most probably said that wrong, but.
Yeah. Something like that. They might put a weird accent on it. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with that. I normally go for it. It's the best thing since sliced bread. Tastes like a ripe banana, vanilla and clove. Balanced sweetness with a slightly tart finish. Aroma of banana and clove. Pacific Jade hops. 5.0% and 15 IBUs. Try with fresh crayfish, which I don't have any fresh crayfish. I got half of pie, a lolly cake. And an apple turnover.
But if anyone for the next week's Bus Factor would like to send us a fresh crayfish, so we can eat,
preferably cooked, like a fresh crayfish that's been cooked and ready to eat. I don't really want if someone sends me a fucking live crayfish, it's gonna really suck.
So that's the challenge for the next week, is to live crayfish to the Bus Factor studios.
Okay, where is the drink here? There we are. I got my drink. What about you, Dave? What are you gonna get?
I don't know, I'm quite partial to the APA, the Aotearoa Pale Ale.
Is it not American Pale Ale?
No, it's an Aotearoa Pale Ale.
Okay, hang on, I'm putting my mic down for 1 second, so don't let us get dead air, Ave. Talk about it.
Okay,
about
really, this with citrus flavours and full hop finish, you'll find our pioneering pale ale is all good. For taste, citrus, grapefruit, and herb flavors with a fresh hop finish. Aroma is tropical fruits and orange mandarin. Hops are
Motueka, something like Motueka.
Yeah, yeah. Pacific Jade, NZ Cascade, Nelson Savon. It's 5.8%.
So you're drinking a stronger beer, you're going to be wasted. I actually haven't eaten.
And its bitterness, though, is 46, which means it's more bitter. And it goes well with venison sausages.
Oh, see, now I'm not a big fan of crayfish, but I could go for some venison sausages. So everything I said about don't send us a crayfish, wow, venison sausages, you can send me that. Well, ask that, the entire crew here. We've got a big crew. It takes a lot of people to make the show happen, as you can tell by the high production quality. So, yeah. So one thing I did notice about this, we're going to talk about beer. I don't know anything about beer. I know like an inkling about wine, like the smallest part about wine. In wine, the good wines generally are not blends. So you get like your one type of grape and you make your wine. And the Torito Jefe is one type of hops, Pacific Jade. But this Aotearoa Pale Ale, like multiple kinds of hops?
Yeah, there's...
What does that mean?
One, two, three, four different hops in it.
Four different kinds of hops. Is that... Well, I don't know anything. I don't know about hops. I know it's the flavory shit, right? Can you get a beer without hops? Because it's yeast and shit, right?
I think the hops are for the flavor. We did, for one Christmas, go and brew beer. I don't actually know much about the brewing process.
Oh, I've done that as well. Yeah, I went to, I think it was Tuatara, actually. There's one.
We went up to their occasional brewer, and they will basically give you all the parts, and they have all the kit. So you go and pour some in.
Yeah.
You go to the pub next door, you drink some beers, you come back an hour later, stir it a few more times, move it to a different pot, go drink some more beers at the bar next door, come back again. So you do that, you put it in a vat for a few weeks, and you come back and bottle it.
So you actually do the full process rather than...
We did the full homebrew process, but they provided all the gear, and they provided all the washing afterwards, so we didn't wash anything.
Yeah, that's going to be an annoying part.
Yeah, apparently that's the worst part, is washing and sterilizing everything. They did all that for us, so
yeah.
Who to outsourcing?
Yeah, I mean that's the fun way. So we did like company outing, which was just go to. Oh Jesus! These people almost got hit because they ran in front of a bus on a red light. Realized the bus started accelerating, so they stopped in the middle of the bus. That was really silly. What's this guy? Turner?
Picking a turner.
Turner with walkers!
There was some tooting there, which... Yeah. Maybe
come on, one more. What, the car? How the fuck did a car get in there? Okay, so we've got the situation here. He's not technically a red light runner.
But he is in an intersection on a red light.
Yeah.
Which, so I think that technically should be, because he should have not entered the intersection if he could not have safely exited.
He was clearly waiting for a turner. I think it's probably the car who fucked him the most there. He probably wouldn't be able to get through the car. But yeah, okay. We're also not doing great for red light runners this week, so it doesn't hurt to increase that by one. Yeah. Although, you know, like, people, I think, are the real problem at this. Buses are annoying at this intersection because they block. So do cars. People fuck up shit all the time. You know, like, a car blocking doesn't kill people normally.
Oh, that kid had to walk around the bus.
Well, that poor kid.
On a scooter. Two kids on a scooter had to go around a bus rather than crossing the crossing correctly.
They probably liked it. They're like, fuck yeah, I'm not going to cross in the crossing. I don't obey the law.
Also scootering across the road, which I'm sure is, maybe not the safest.
Yeah, probably, now that I think about it, not that I have a kid. If I did have a kid, and important caveat, I didn't want them to die, I think I wouldn't let them skate across. Although there was a full green man in every direction,
it's not too bad, yeah.
Also, like, a fairly safe intersection to do it. There's not a lot of speed here. I don't know, maybe I would. Maybe I'd be like, go ahead, kid.
But there's a skateboarder now going along.
Yeah, like, skateboarders down here, I guess in Wellington, they just, like, they're not... I don't see them do excessively dangerous stuff. I just see them do the weird stuff, like skateboarding along the road that buses travel down. And I'm like, I don't have the balls for that. If a bus comes, I'd panic and be like, oh God, what do I do? And probably die. Like, I've seen bikers go down there a little as well. One of my friends bikes down and had two buses coming opposite directions. Had to duck underneath the wing mirrors to avoid getting taken down. So, I don't know. I think I've told that story before.
Yeah, maybe it sounds a little bit familiar.
Okay. Is it still cool to sit on the back of the bus? What do you think, Dave?
On the back seat?
Like the way back seat, or just the back in general.
I'll still sit in the back on the bus. I won't sit in the back seat.
Yeah, if I catch the bus home. Yeah. Well, the thing for me is I'm not a kid anymore, and I feel like that's reserved for like children, like younger children, less than teenagers.
Yeah,
maybe teenagers.
On the school bus while I was at college, you know, there was sort of maybe when I was sort of sixth form, seventh form, you know, there was a group of us who would take the back seat and the row directly in front.
Yeah, like the back seat area, yeah.
Yeah, if the little kids got
in
there.
You were a cool kid, Dave. Yeah.
I don't know. We just said it was the particular bus, right? Cool kid on that bus, right? If particular side of the year, some, like, little juniors, like third formers didn't quite know the etiquette.
Which is the older people get to go wherever the fuck they want.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
We basically had to tell them that they had to sit
somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
When I tend to catch buses nowadays, I tend to go quite near the front, actually, which it ends up working out kind of badly because, I don't know, I just end up sitting in weird places and I get nervous because I'm like, ugh, like this is a bad place. I'm sitting too close to someone. You gotta evenly distribute the seats in the bus. If you get on when it's not busy, you gotta sit in a configuration that maximizes the space between people. But not only that, I go another level and I say, I also need to make sure that as people come on and act as rational humans, which they will also maximize the space, how do we maximize the space going into the future as well? But I overanalyze it and I end up just saying, oh, I made the wrong decision. If I'd set one seat back, that person would have gone here, this person would have gone here. We would have had an evenly distributed bus for longer. Oh, buses are a fucking big deal
for
me.
It's also like when you go to the urinals. And you've got to pick where you go, which urinal you pick. And I
always mess that one up, yeah.
Well, and then you've got to pick, well, it's like, because if it's not full, you've got to have a gap in between you. But then there's a particular point when it's full enough that it's all right to use one directly next to another person.
Yeah.
And that's a really fine balance, yeah.
Yeah, and also you can pick one such that sometimes you can have a decision. You can pick one so that you have a gap that's bigger. But if another person comes in, they have to sit next to one of you. Stand, rather, not sit.
Yeah.
Or you can pick a smaller gap, but if someone else comes in, they can also have a gap. It's like a philosophical question. Do you take the selfish route with more gap, or do you take
It'll depend on the event and the location to say you sort of premeditate what else is going to happen around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least when there's actually a urinal each, it's a lot better because it's clearly how far spaced you meant to be. When it's just the big long urinals,
oh yeah,
and that gets really complex
because
you shuffle and there's no clear max number.
Yeah.
You're like, some people are a little bit too close.
Yeah.
That's
The worst is when you're like, I'll wait, and someone else comes up behind you and is like, nah, fuck it, I can get in, and they get in, and you're like, well, fuck, maybe I should have just gone in. Now I don't know, like. What to do. Just looking at the roofs of the buses, sorry, that's what I was staring at. Some of the roof buses, that one's totally clean. The ones before had really messy roofs. And I was just thinking, is that like a paint job to make it look like a scummy, dirty roof?
Oh, got a bike doing...
He's waiting for a turner.
So I'm guess that bike is going to...
Oh, two. I'm going to call that two.
Yeah, that's a two.
And the main one.
That's a two. And is... Given where that is, I'm picking the bike is going to do a duck opposed to a goose.
He's going to go straight.
He's going to go straight, yeah, the duck, yeah.
To be honest, like, I don't bike, but if I did, at this point, I'd just go on the footpath, just right down.
If it was a goose, yeah.
Oh, yeah, if it's a duck, you can't do it, yeah. Okay, let's add two to this. 3, 4, 5. Okay. Wait, how much was it? It was 2, 3, 4, 4. Sorry. Beer's starting to hurt.
We've got some car blockage going down, but we've only got a bike waiting.
I really hate these piece of shit cars here. I really hate them because they always encroach on me like, hey, why are you walking across the road? You're inconveniencing me. And I'm like, you were the one who broke the law. You shouldn't have gone into that intersection. Ugh, I don't know. It really annoys me.
Yeah, because we do cross that a lot because it's right outside our office. So,
yeah, we all do, yeah. Okay, so how about... Oh, yeah, so I was talking about the AT&T modem hacks. I'll just cover that a little bit more briefly, more in any case. He dropped a bunch of, like, O-Day. It was pretty sweet. For example, like, SSH listening. It was way speedy.
Was that...
I reckon it was past the second line, or past the first line at least.
Oh, is that, okay. But he would still be blocking pedestrians while it was red.
Yeah. Well, hang on. While it was red, yeah, he could have been. They don't actually get to cross now. So
no, they wouldn't be crossing now, but...
If they did, then he would have, yeah. Well, they had an extra layout then. Oh, yeah, so the AT&T thing, an SSH thing, listening on the WAN with, like, hard-coded creds, pretty bad. And then, like, shell injection, it, like, gives you a C-shell or something, like a fake AT&T shell that limits your commands, because... Like, I don't understand why people do this with routers. Just give me a fucking busybox shell. If you're logging into the router, surely you can just, you're just either running commands AT&T told you to do, right? Like, you don't understand what they are. Or, those people are way keen. Or you like know about computers, so just on the that person just tried to run. Oh my goodness. These people don't cross at these lights often.
With their friends encouraging her to run across.
That was just ridiculous.
Because they are not adults, they are definitely kids.
They are definitely kids, yeah. I've made that mistake before actually. Not exactly that mistake. I was at a bar running training for KiwiCon actually.
Oh yeah.
And like a kid came in, kinda, but like maybe like a 16-year-old kid, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was like blah 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 training. And I'm like, fuck. If this is like a 18-year-old chick, I don't want to imply you're a child. You can't drink. And I was like, fuck. Do I offer them a beer? Because like not like to buy them a beer, but we had beer all around, you know.
There was beer on the table.
I'm pouring them a beer. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck. If I get this wrong, I'm gonna either look like a creep offering beer to a kid, or like a person who is like, you're a child to me because you're a girl or something. I don't know. It was weird. Offer them beer. Wrong choice. Wrong choice. So yeah. Anyway, command shell injection. What fucking these cars today? They're not doing it right. I wonder if I should stand in the middle of the intersection when they're trying to cross just to make them wait longer.
Wait until the red person's about to finish, and then just
is there a turner? That was ending. He took so long to go. It's weird.
Well, maybe he's just got a few more minutes to push out till he gets overtime. So he just wants to slow his ride down a little bit, just so at every intersection to get overtime or something. Yeah, do buses drivers get overtime if they run slow?
I know they get punished. Like. I think I've told the story before. One bus driver was consistently late because she had a shitty bus. I heard the story while sitting on the bus. Like, I was just listening to them because I'm a creep like that. And she was complaining because she got told she was going too slow on the bus because she had a shitty bus. And then so she went and had to do remedial training. And the remedial driver was like, you drive fine. I don't understand what the problem is. And she's like, it's my fucking bus. I've told them that 100 times. They just won't give me a new bus. And so she said, like, she was consistently late, and he kept having to go back to remedial because they thought she couldn't drive, but it was just her bus was slow or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, because they say the bad craftsman always blames their tools thing.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she was bad. Who knows? Oh, look, is that a coworker again? Oh, that's two coworkers. What do you reckon they brought? Candy? Or they went shopping somewhere. Oh, it looks like a lot of candy and whatnot.
Yeah, that's possibly they went to the Chinese supermarket or Asian supermarket.
Yeah, it did look like that kind of thing. We saw some in the fridge earlier. Oh, yeah, the 18th thing, there was some more. It was a pretty sweet one. There's like a port that's always open, like on the internet, and you can just like tell it to open ports onto the LAN. So it's like a kind of like NAT traversal bug. You're just like, hey, port 8753 or whatever. Open up port 22 to your internal network, please. And you have to give it a MAC address. It's a little bit convoluted, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they dropped those, full disclosure. Pretty sweet.
Also, is that basically, instead of UPnP working from the LAN to sort of a LAN device telling open a port, this is a remote device telling it to open a port.
Yeah. So they said, fucking ridiculous, right? So they said they thought it was probably to do with, like, AT&T needed a way to debug some internal devices. Said, if you're an AT&T customer, you're running their modem and you're also running their
set-top box.
Yeah, that was what they said. Then they need a way to be able to just like, boop, do that. They know what set-top box you're running. They know the MAC address. So I'll just open that port up and get remote access. Of course, this is a dumb idea. If any people who work at ISPs are listening, don't do that. It's ridiculous. Oh, sorry. There was a, how did you not see that? That was read for like 10 seconds. Did we need to increment the counter? We were looking at each other rather than the buzzers. I know it's a problem.
Yeah.
Tell us if we need to increment it. Okay. Now, I think we're getting on to the main topic of the week at this point, 5:30. You'll see it on the left there.
Oh, yeah.
The price hikes. Yeah. The Wellington buses.
Yeah, Metlink, who's the council's bus and public transport coordination company.
Yep.
Yeah, it's currently doing a consultation to raise... which will result in bus fees raising for people. Though on the flip side, they're going to offer all students up to including tertiary a discount along with disabled and blind people.
Did we
as
not
well.
Get a discount already as a student?
Secondary school students do.
Mm-hmm.
Tertiary students do not.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. So they're increasing it.
Yeah. And also they're going to introduce off-peak pricing. So if you don't, if you travel like after 9:30 and mm-hmm. before 4 and after 6:30 in the evening and all day weekends and public holidays, you'll get an off-peak pricing on the buses.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, you're trying to trying to encourage people not to just go during rush hours.
Yeah. Because I guess that I don't know about the bus statistics, but I can see that working.
Yeah.
I guess other places do that. And I guess it's easy if you have a like snapper as well, because you don't have to worry about like the bus drivers getting the wrong fares or anything. You just swipe, done. So,
yeah, and that's also part of it. They want to move snapper from just the yellow Go Wellington buses and the purple Hutt Valley Flyers to also be all the other bus companies.
Wait, like the other bus? Oh, yeah, we've had this talk before. So I didn't know this, but yeah, some of the bus companies don't have snapper, which is... Snapper's our like card. You probably get the idea. It's a card system like Mikey in Melbourne or
Oyster. And Octopus,
Opal, or what was the Japanese one? They've got like two, Suica and something else. Yeah, all the same idea. It's kind of annoying that they're not standardized, but whatever. Do you know the outcome of that? Because someone said there's a meeting last night about it.
Oh, this was just a consultation meeting.
Yeah. Well,
and then they've released a policy, mm-hmm. have some consultation meetings to say, like, we are engaging with the public, we are giving their feedback.
Although, like, it's a bit...
And then there'll be another one, project. Which chances are knowing how this stuff works, they'll just publish the same one with an increased version number.
Yeah, because, like, we need to increase the bus prices. What does the public say? If you have to, I guess. Great, we've consulted. Like, what consultation would there be? Someone said on Twitter, they think buses should be a like purely government funded thing. Like the buses should be 100% free or close to it or something. More government funding for buses, which I guess is something that, you know, you can have an opinion about, but isn't going to be useful to bring up in this consultation. Like, what's the point of this consultation? I don't know.
Yeah, but also our buses in New Zealand are basically between central and local government are about 50% funded already.
Yeah. So it's pretty well funded.
Yeah. But then again, I've looked at the per kilometre cost. It's mm-hmm. cheaper for me to jump on a flight from Wellington to Auckland than it is to get a bus home per kilometre, price-wise.
Okay.
And when I'm on the plane, I will get a drink, and I'll get a sort of a bigger seat, and chances are I get staff who help me with the safety if there's a crash. And there's actually more highly trained staff involved as well.
Yeah, okay.
And the airlines are actually providing a cheaper per kilometre service than the bus companies are. So I'm not entirely sure where all the bus companies are spending their money.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know enough about buses or planes to know if that's right, if that makes sense. Like, should that be the case? I don't know. I don't know enough about what their costs are. Like, intuitively you say no, right? Like, an airline flight has way more involved. But that being said, airline flight is like one flight for long distance, right? Whereas buses, they're constantly stopping, letting people on and off. So,
and also, a plane is going to fly with a much higher load factor than a bus, right?
You mean more people than it?
Yeah, basically, planes, you know, if a particular service in a plane isn't getting 70, 80% full on average, they'll cut that flight. While a bus, because they're private companies doing a service for a central government, local government body, they have to, you know, they have to provide routes even when there's no one on it.
Yeah. Which is a good thing.
Yeah, the bus which goes past my place during the week, you know, in the middle of the day, there's no one on it. Yet it's still running in case that one person actually wanted to use it.
Well, on that topic, this is not bus related, but it is transport related. I read a story about one of the train companies in Japan, one of the northern ones. Like, you know, they have the aging population, blah, blah, blah. In one of the suburbs there, not Tokyo, like somewhere else in Japan, they have a train line that they were going to shut down a station for, like on the train lines. They're going to be like, no one uses the station. But someone realized that it actually does get used. There is one person who uses it to get to school and get back from school every day, you know.
I remember reading that. That was a while ago, a year ago.
Plus. Was that a year ago?
Well, it was a while ago. I remember reading this. Or it may have been a different one. They'll shut it down. That, yeah, there was, yeah, one kid.
It definitely could have been that one, yeah. And so they're going to keep open until she graduates. And I was like, oh, isn't that nice? So it only stops there for her, which is, like, weird for a train, right? Like, you know, when I first got on a train after only using buses, I was like, how do I tell it I want it to stop at the station? Of course, that's not how trains work. Trains are always going to stop at the station or not stop at the station. But isn't that nice? I thought it was a nice story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, someone said they think it was shut down because she graduated, which makes sense. She graduated. She's an adult now. She can deal with her own stuff. Walked to the next station. So, yeah. Okay. So, how are we going for time? We're going pretty good for time. Got some more news stories in here. Okay. So, did you hear? And this is breaking. This one's breaking. It came out yesterday.
Breaking. Do we need, like, we need a breaking news?
Yeah. So if you've been listening to, let's say, another InfoSec podcast, you wouldn't have heard about this one. This one's new. The WikiLeaks hack. Did you see this, Dave? WikiLeaks got hacked. Kind of.
What do you mean by kind of?
Well, I mean, when you go to WikiLeaks.org, it came up. WikiLeaks has been hacked. You guys are scrubs. Like, it was a... I'll be careful about the way I phrase it. It looked like a skid group. A skid group was like, we have hacked you. You shouldn't have challenged us to hack us. You know, slightly bad English. Like, they had some stupid name. That kind of thing. That was what I mean. So, your intuition. Oh, WikiLeaks got hacked, right? Yeah, that's what you say.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not exactly, though, because it was like their DNS provider got hacked. Or they rang up the DNS provider and were like, hello, I am WikiLeaks. May I please have my account recovered, please? And the DNS provider was like, okay, WikiLeaks. Here you are. Does that count as being hacked? If someone did that with fucking Facebook, you'd be like, hell yeah, Facebook got hacked. Imagine the cred you could harvest.
Yeah.
It's not Facebook's fault. Or in this case, WikiLeaks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, attacking stuff is always the soft spot. If you can't attack actually the actual website, go for the soft stuff. The hosting provider and the DNS and their domain registrar and DNS.
Like all the MSP hacking now, right?
Yeah.
You go a higher level up. You say, well, who manages their service? Who do whatever, you know?
I mean, it's soft and fleshy. You look at when you register your domain name, does the website inspire you with confidence that they actually know what this thing called IT security is?
Then again, GoDaddy looks like a piece of shit. I mean, GoDaddy is a scummy, scummy company. But... I don't think they've been hacked. Huh?
No. I mean, plenty of their hosts been hacked because people run really bad PHP on it.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, yes.
But their actual infrastructure, I think they've most probably figured it out by now. But then again, they're big enough that they have to have figured it out.
Yeah, I guess so. That being said, if someone wants to dump the creds to anyone who uses GoDaddy, because, like, I bet they're using, like, MD5 or worse, there's no way in hell they're going to be using Bcrypt. Go ahead. We need more dumps for our password database. So send some of those in. Not to us. I mean, leak them on the internet. So plausible deniability and all that.
And they're available to everyone. Yeah, don't be... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
give them, hog them.
Yeah.
There was also a little bit of interesting chat out on Twitter. I say interesting in like a dumb way. Someone was like, oh man, they got hacked by Scuds. How lame. And someone else was like, or was it... like Five Eyes PsyOps campaign to make them look incompetent. And it's one of those things I'm like, fucking maybe, but we have literally no way of knowing.
Or it was Julian Assange just having a bender.
Oh, fucking who knows? He's a little bit off the rails these days, isn't he? God, speaking of scummy people, Julian Assange, Jesus Christ. Someone said, I'm going to quote them, I'm not saying that this is the truth. Someone said Julian Assange is a rapist. I think what you'll find is Julian Assange is an accused rapist, right? He's like been accused of raping. Oh. Don't think he ever got convicted.
No. Did they ever actually file proper charges? Or did they only want to discuss with him about that? Okay, don't worry. I don't believe he is a good person.
Exactly. I don't believe he's a good person.
I'm just being accurate in actual legal process.
I also wouldn't want to go around saying like Julian Assange is a rapist. Because of the legal implications? Like, if he hasn't been convicted, and then... Julian Assange seems like a litigious son of a bitch. Not because he's like sued people, but because he just seems like the kind of person who would sue people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that he's got like a great side of that. Is it a goose? Oh yeah, I did see the goose actually. I was looking. I wasn't. I'm all over it today. I have no idea.
Must remember to actually look at the traffic lights.
Yeah,
it's hard when you're talking to someone to actually look at the traffic lights because they're in front of us. Yet the person we're talking to is next to us.
Yeah, there's no good way. We need the OpenCV system that does alerts and instant replays.
Or we just need to get the projector in the office, and then we can like look at each other and look at the projection on the wall.
Yeah, that might work actually. Yeah. Okay, so with the WikiLeaks thing though. This is a, if you think about the CIA thing, right? A confidentiality, integrity. Oh my God, a duck.
Duck, what duck, is he quack,
doing?
Quack.
What is he doing? If you think about the CIA, confidentiality, integrity, and availability, this clearly impacts availability, right? Because no one can get to WikiLeaks.
Yep.
To a tiny extent, you could argue like, well, they could host a malicious copy of WikiLeaks. So, you know, a little bit of integrity and whatnot. But of course, the interesting thing is, it's going to be resolved in 2 days. Now,
or however long DNS takes to propagate.
However long DNS takes.
Frigate DNS propagation, right?
Relatively short compared to, I'm going to call out to Risky Biz, who I haven't listened to the whole episode, but what they talked about was the HPKP thing as an attack vector.
Yeah.
Imagine if the WikiLeaks hackers had
the foresight.
They fucking pop Ellie, Let's Encrypt, write it, really do the DNS thing. Let's Encrypt. Bam. They've got their cert assigned. Yeah. They now set an HPKP here for the maximum length browsers will accept. Yeah. How's your availability now, WikiLeaks? You're fucked, right?
Yeah, you're fucked. Yeah,
I don't know how long you can set it for. Like, I know people generally set it for like a month. If not that they do set it, but if they did, they would do it like a month. If you can set like a 10-year header, that domain would be fucked.
Until everyone resets their browser, right? Well, reinstalls their browser, yeah.
Someone said, wouldn't they be saved if HSTS was enabled and enforced? No, because once you hijack the DNS, you can get a Let's Encrypt certificate. It would be saved if it was HSTS enabled and they had HPKP enabled, or HKPK, whatever it is, enabled to prevent any other certificates. But that's a disaster waiting to happen in itself, because if they just lose their certs for whatever other reason, they're fucked. So,
I have never recommended HKPK or whatever the acronym is, some combination of those.
I do in apps.
Oh, in apps, yes, because you've got a different mechanism to push.
Yeah, yeah.
It's certificate pinning in apps because you can push out the app through the Play Store or the Apple Store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That, but on the website, the way you're pushing out is actually over the HTTPS. I would not recommend it because it's basically how to brick your domain in one easy header.
Yeah, yeah. But someone said, I thought Google had an HSTS transparency thing. They do have. Hang on. So there's multiple things here. HSTS just says that the browser will only load the page if it is enabled, if it has HTTPS enabled. That's all it does. Then there's another thing called HPKP or HPKP.
Host.
Something.
Key
something.
Pinning?
Protocol.
No. Host private key pinning? Host.
I don't know if it's HPKP
or
HKPK.
It's either
one of the two.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that does is lets you pin. So it says to the browser, only load the site if it presents this SSL certificate. Now, you can do different levels of pulling. You can pin to the very final certificate. So, for example, if you get a certificate from Let's Encrypt, that's what it's called. You can pin to that exact leaf, okay? And that means that when it expires in a month or a year, you're going to be kind of screwed. So what you need to do is you need to, if you're pinning your leaf node, you need to pin it for approximately the expiration of that certificate. Now, that would prevent someone else getting another Let's Encrypt certificate and, spoofing that, because then it would be like, well, the leaf node is different. You've pinned it to this leaf. I'm not going to let this site load. People don't do that, though, because if you lose that certificate or someone hacks that certificate, you need to rotate really quickly, right? You need to say, fuck, let's put a different certificate on. So people generally pin to higher up than that. For example, this certificate must be from Let's Encrypt. And then it doesn't really help in this case because it's kind of screwed. So if they pinch the leaf node, it would. It's HPKP, HTTP public key pinning. So there we are. That makes sense. That's good. So with the transparency log, HSTS transparency, there's two things here you might be conflicting, which is the HTTPS or the SSL the certificate TLS. Transparency log. That's what it's called, right? The certificate transparency log?
Yes, CT logs, yep.
CT logs. That says whenever a registrar puts a domain out, an SSL certificate out there.
TLS certificate. Should SSL deprecate it?
It's a certificate. Because you can use it for more, whatever.
Yeah.
That gets written to a log. That's just a public log anyone can look at and say, oh. So this is really handy actually if you're penetration testing an organization and you say, I want to list the domains. You just go to the log and say, what SSL certificates do they have across star.monkeypoop.com or whatever. So there's that. That wouldn't help in this case. It would help post-mortem for you to say, like, oh, they generated an SSL certificate. That's how they bricked the website, I guess. You know, yeah. Like, doesn't prevent anything. It's just for logging. Please increment. There was a Turner. Okay, I'll fucking put that up. Now, the last thing you might be thinking of, it's just the HSTS preload list. And all that says is it's like a way that browser vendors can say, I don't care if you've never visited the website before, you have to load over HTTPS. So your bank, for example, will say to Google, your bank won't actually.
Your bank won't. My website will.
Yeah.
So your bank should go to Google and say, if anyone's using Chrome or Firefox or whatever.
And I think Edge also has implemented the same. They all use the same list.
Same list. It's actually just a big JSON blob that gets included with your browser. It's actually really disgusting to look at. Like when you look at how it's implemented, you're like, Jesus Christ. And that just says, only visit the website of SSL ever. Okay. That also isn't going to help here, right? Because they can still get an SSL certificate via Let's Encrypt. So there's a lot of web technologies here. All designed to solve different problems. None of them are going to solve the problem of domains being hijacked. That HPKP can solve it. I wouldn't recommend it, but it can solve it.
It can, yeah.
Yeah. Dave's shaking his head at me as he is.
It's like, as I come back to how to HPKP, how to brick your domain in one easy header. If you actually fully understand the implications of it and you have backup keys, which are offline, and you're going to manage all this in an automated way, yeah, sure, do it. If you're not, I mean, and to the point that some actual big banks and stuff with which have load balancers and F5s up the front of their web infrastructure will actually strip and alert the HPKP header.
Yeah, because like, oh shit, a dev pushed out HPKP, that's going to break our website. And it's just an unsolvable problem. You break your website. How do you even tell users like how to fix it? Because they can't get to your website. You'd have to run like a TV campaign being like,
please uninstall
your... Yeah, bank is really sorry, but uninstall your browser, reinstall it again. You're going to have to go to the registry and clear these and go to this file. You'd be fucked. So, yeah. Is that someone at all? Nah.
No, it's someone at our door.
Okay, but this does lead into the next story here in terms of kind of credibility, right? WikiLeaks did nothing wrong in this one particular case. Well, they did minimal wrong. They picked a bad registrar. It's going to happen. But the FCC, they also made a similar mistake. They let people upload files to their website, right? They need to receive submissions from the public. So they say, you can upload a file here. Of course, you need to be able to check that your file is uploaded, right? So they also like host it for you. You upload a file and you can view it, which is a reasonable feature. A lot of places have this. Avatars, for example,
yep.
Or attachments in a forum.
And I suspect in this case as well, you make a submission on something, that the submission is public and has to be published at the end of it to prove these people did provide these submissions, and in order of transparency, here they all are.
Yeah. But it has an implication, right? If you go to EEC, whatever the fuck it is, .fcc.gov.nz,
.gov,
/ a random URL, and you get this thing saying, the FCC has published it, it literally said, like, the FCC header, you know, to the American citizenry, we apologize for the head of the FCC being a spineless cuck. Sincerely, the FCC. And you link that to people on Twitter or Reddit or wherever, and they're like, holy shit, what is the FCC doing? This is ballsy. Who did this at the FCC? Like, why did the FCC publish this thing? And of course, they didn't. The FCC didn't publish it. They just hosted the file from someone who uploaded it. It's great trolling, though, isn't it? Like, to think of it, I wouldn't have thought of it. Like, hey, why don't we just upload a fake statement from the FCC to their website? And then everyone will be like, it's hosted on FCC.gov. It'll be fine. It'll be legit. So I don't know. That's funny. They're just kind of similar in terms of, like, they both fuck with the organization's credibility. Heaps. Right? How does the FCC solve this? Who even knows? I guess they, like... GitHub solved it with a separate domain, githubusercontent.com or something.
Yeah, to make it quite clear. Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, and this was, the subdomain just looked like some random letters and numbers. It wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. It did have a meaning. It was like the electronic filing system or something.
And there were also some numbers in there as well, if I remember correctly. It wasn't just letters. I can't remember. The URLs... online somewhere.
It was hard to tell in the FCC one that it was not
official content.
Yeah, that it was not official. Whereas the GitHub user content one. And to be honest, GitHub did experiment with, I think they just had like content.github.com or like user.github.com, pages.github.com. They had a subdomain under github.com. Yeah. Oh, that guy was Turner, I'm guessing. Maybe it's just full. No. Huh, must just be full.
Must be
he
full.
Stopped. He's like a little bit over, but I'd let that slide.
Well, yeah, because you could still walk actually across the pedestrian crossing.
And like he made a good effort. He went to go and was like, no, I shouldn't. So he did. Good to you, Karori Park 3. I don't know what your bus number is. 2310 or something. Good to you. Good work. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, GitHub basically found that you couldn't do it super well. Yeah, open me a beer. Thanks. You couldn't do it super well with like a subdomain. Especially because you think if you go to like github.com without a www, you have cookies that span the entire domain, blah, 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 blah. It gets to a point where it's separate domains better. So maybe the FCC needs to invest in something like that. It's pretty cheap as well. They called him a cuck. It's funny. Ha ha ha, cuck. Ha ha ha. Okay. We got 5 minutes left. So we got one, two. We only got two things there. Maybe we can get through both of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Do you want to hit this one? You want to hit this one?
Yeah, yeah. So remember Barnaby Jack a few years back?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, he was basically... he was working on basically hacking some pacemakers remotely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This seems to have sort of... Then we had some discussion. The FDA actually thought, hey, maybe we should actually do this security thing. Rather than just safety, we should also do security.
We should do security, yeah.
And it's sort of come out that there is a pacemaker manufacturer who's come out and said 450,000 people with pacemakers, you need to do a firmware update.
This was the St. Jude's, right? The Muddy Waters thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So the long of the short was researchers found the bugs, took it to like a stock company. Muddy Waters was the thing. They shorted the shit out of the stocks. Did the press release, hey, all these pacemakers can be remotely hacked. And then the intention was to make money. It's taken like a year. They finally said like, okay, so you might have found some bugs, many lawsuits and all that. Now they're trying to do the patching. But how do you patch? How do you get all these people to patch their pacemakers?
Yeah. You've actually got to go into your doctor or something to get the patch, which is going to be really interesting when the ASD says critical security update should be installed within 48 hours of release.
Someone else pointed out, I saw this on Twitter, I don't exactly know what the context was. My guess was it was someone who like talks to old people about security stuff. Can't remember who it was now. Called them like the gang of old ladies or some shit. I'm messing that up really bad. Anyway, they were talking about like the scare tactics used in all these articles, like you know, critical security vulnerability in your pacemaker, you could die, right? And they talked about that has like a really real world impact. If you have a pacemaker and you hear like pacemakers can be hacked, get a firmware update, you're gonna die. It actually like substantially increases your anxiety, right? If you get told like someone can kill you remotely and not be caught and all that stuff, you're like, oh Jesus Christ. That has an impact on like real world outcomes, especially for people who have pacemakers because they have
their heart's already not 100%, right? And you're adding stress and anxiety is not going to be helpful to the heart. Yeah.
Like, legitimately, we know stress and anxiety cut off your lifespan. Like, if you're stressed and anxious all the time, you won't live as long. You'll die a lot sooner. So it's I don't know. I don't know what the outcome, the take on that is. But it's kind of interesting. I guess it's especially interesting because it's pacemakers, which it's already people who have like shitty hearts. Or whatever. I don't have a pacemaker. I don't know how it works exactly. So, I don't know. Guessing it's to do with shitty hearts.
Yeah, basically, if the heart rhythm is not correct, it has a little shock to help basically become, instead of the body shocking it at the right time, you've got a little pacemaker to give it a little helping hand.
Yeah. So, I guess there's a lot of conditions that can be solved. It's kind of cool in a pacemaker to shock your heart. It's like biohacking, but done by the big corporate industries, man. Was my little fucking open source pacemaker without the firmware updates. I don't know.
Well, they're just some jumper cables on a car.
Yeah.
Just across the heart, right? That will have the same effect, right? Well, it will give your heart a shock, it most probably. But yeah, just following on from sort of updating firmware on devices, Samsung has bricked a whole bunch of TVs in the UK with a firmware update.
Jeez. So this is... This is kind of the game over status for the pacemakers, I guess. Firmware update. Oh, I'm really sorry we bricked your pacemaker. You need to head to the emergency department. Sorry, dude. Yeah, at least TVs aren't as bad. Do you know what they're doing about it? Are they deploying them?
I haven't actually heard whether it's recoverable over the air or whether they've got to plug something in or whether you just bin the TV and get a new TV.
I don't know.
Hopefully there'll be an option for the people who've had their TVs bricked. And it's really bad because it now encourages people not next time there's an update for something, they're not going to install it after they've had a bad experience. So,
yeah. Well, we saw a little bit of this with the MeDoc stuff. It was the NotPetya one, right? The MeDoc? Was that WannaCry? No, that was NotPetya. So that was people got updates from their MeDoc servers in Ukraine. This is the Ukrainian accounting software. And the update was malicious and blah, 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 blah.
Not picture.
Yeah. And we see kind of like a chilling effect where you're like, what's this dude up to? He's like sitting there trying to go. He's going to hive his vest. That might be an undercover cop, actually. Can you see his
is there any light bars? The other way to tell cops is the unmarked cop cars have a whole bunch of aerials on them because they're cop cars.
They had one aerial.
So, yeah, but was it just the normal car aerial?
I don't know.
Well, because if it's normal car aerial, because there's like marked cars, unmarked cars, and there's actually undercover cars that just look like normal cars because the unmarked ones still have all the extra police aerials on top and you can see the little light bars.
The undercover ones have light bars, don't they?
No.
Okay.
No. The unmarked ones have the light bars, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Where were we? Oh, yeah, the chilling effect of like, oh, shit, don't upgrade because if you install this update, you might be hacked. And it's like, duh, don't listen to that. It's like technically true, but that is so the wrong conclusion to come to. Like you might be hacked, sure, but guess what's going to get you hacked more? Fucking having your pacemaker remotely exploitable. Do the bloody update.
Yeah, there are more updates that are unhacked by a vast order of magnitude than the ones that have been trojaned in some way.
Yeah. It's like, the entire point of updates is to stop people.
As long as you get it from a legitimate update source. If you go to like Google, you just Google a download and you're like download.com or CNET. Yeah. At that point, no.
What? Did you see the little kerfuffle with the cert HTTP, HTTPS updater signing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. Turns out there's some people in the world who... Now, don't get me wrong. The reason I say this is that there are more people than I expected who are totally okay with signing updates, doing signed updates over HTTP. And there are more than I thought. And like that's one of those things where I've just taken it for granted that that's like a bad idea. Don't do it. But it's like a thing. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Because people were like, oh, no, they're signed. And they were totally worried about that it is signed. That's our trust. When the fact is signed just means it came from someone who could get it signed, while the HTTPS for the download also proved that it came from the website you expected, so long as you do some cert pinning. along the way. It's just
For me, it's just
they're solving different problems.
Exactly. For me, it's like a defense in depth thing. It's like you can't just be like, oh, it'll probably be okay like this, right? It's like a just do both. Like, why wouldn't you do both? I don't know. It's weird.
Particularly now that Let's Encrypt's free. I mean, there is no excuse now not to have HTTPS.
There is a excuse, which is like you might be using IE6, which, IE6 or Windows XP also, like the Windows XP.
Well, you could still use HTTPS. You just can't use Let's Encrypt in that.
And you also can't use the vHost stuff.
Oh,
SNI.
SNI. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like people, and you also can't use any secure ciphers, which means you either need to have, you need basically to run your SSI completely insecure, not completely, you know. Fucking
don't
XP.
Don't use XP?
Yeah. I mean, it's good advice. Sometimes it doesn't work, but it is good advice. Don't use XP.
Head it here first. Don't use XP.
Yeah. Yeah. really good commentary here. Don't use XP. You won't hear anyone else have the balls to say something like that. Okay. So 6.03 now. Had a pretty good run. Bust of the news. We didn't have much bus news. We also did not pay much attention to the red light runners. Though I think 6 was more than last week. We only got like 5 last week. That was the week I wasn't here. 2 weeks.
Oh, so it must be your... it's obviously we need Stephen here to get the high counts and Hugh, because the weeks that they had the highest counts was Stephen and Hugh.
Yeah. Dave is a little bit intimidating to the buses, so there's not as much. And Peter, who was on last week, is very intimidating to the buses, so they were fucking on edge that week. Should we point at him? Yeah.
We're pointing, if you can't see it.
You can't see us.
Can you see our reflection that we're pointing at the buses?
Nah, no reflection today. Oh, there's like a tie. You can't. I think the reflection's over there. Okay. Now, we actually, as far as I can tell, don't have the outro music working. So, unfortunately, I'll try it one more time, but I don't think it's working. So I think we're going to be pretty screwed. No, it's not. So we don't have any outro music today. So I'm sorry. I might put it in with some FFmpeg magic. But otherwise, we're about done. I'm going to go eat the rest of my pie. It's cold now, but at least I get to eat it.
Are you at least going to maybe consider downloading?
Oh, yes. This is one of those things where like, we should have downloaded it and just it would have been solved. It would have been completely solved. We also wouldn't have to use as much as the like super dodgy, like, we got a dodgy plugin to do it. It doesn't work so well with our music stuff. One day I want to switch to like a fully analog setup, but it's one of those things where I was looking at it and I'm like, oh, I could easily drop like 10K on this shit. And so, oh, yeah, we got our Patreon, which does at some point have like better stuff.
Well, have you actually set the Patreon campaign up yet?
No. So I started doing the Bus Factor website, remember? www.thebusfactor.party. That's our main domain. Or busfactor.space, busfactor.website. But we haven't... We've got like an iTunes account, like a podcast account. We got things to go through. We got to get the Apple iTunes shit working, the podcast thing working. Then we got to get the website working, maybe at the same time. Then we're going to do the Patreon. Like we got viewership is more important than money.
Yeah, but so it's if you are liking it, make sure you like on Twitter and Twitch.
Like and subscribe on YouTube, please. Sub.
Follow on Twitter,
Get them subscribes, get them likes. Yeah, put us in the, come on, together we can do it.
And whatever other buzzwords people need to say at the end of videos.
Hit us up on Instagram. Smash that like button. Smash that thumbs up. Okay. I think we're about done now. So thanks for tuning in. Next week, hopefully, if I'm right, Hugh will be back.
I believe Hugh will still be here.
We should be back to your regular scheduled bus. Also, there's a secret about last week's episode. Someone should see if they can figure out the secret. There was a secret. It'd be hard to figure out, but if you've been paying attention, if you know your Bus Factor trivia and you paid attention every week, you better figure out the secret. Otherwise,
the first to say it on Twitter will get absolutely no prize.
No prize, but I'll be like, oh, cool, good work.
You actually figured it out.
Also, I realize I haven't recorded this episode, so we will pull it off Twitch, but it should be okay. So catch everyone later. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah,
and we'll see you next week on the Bus Factor. Ba-da-bum-bum, 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 ba-da-bum-bum. Catch you later.